You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So you're confident then?
I mean... You know the expression, go big or go home?
Mm.
I am not at home.
Welcome to another episode of the list of absolutely everything that might kill you.
The show which could just save your life.
I'm Matt Edmondson.
And I'm Adam Kay. This week, we're adding two more potentially fatal items to the list.
So, come on then, join us, put on your high-vis, fasten your seatbelt, and most importantly,
keep your arms and legs inside the podcast at all times.
I'm ready. I think you're going to be a bit annoyed by mine today. Much like the thing that I've gone for, it's been circling this podcast for a while. And I've been slightly in defense of it, but I needed to break glass for something that I thought would be a big hitter today.
Okay, and mine is flying.
Flying?
You know how on the news every few days there's been some horrendous plane crash?
Yeah.
I'm hoovering all of those
up. Hoovering that? I was going to say, and on the news and on the nose. It's so obvious, that one.
It is, but here we are.
But do you know what? I don't know how obvious it is, because obviously there are plane fatalities, but most flights, fine. Isn't there?
That's what they want you to
know.
No,
there's like some statistic, isn't there, where everyone says, oh, you know, it's
you're more likely to die
in a car.
Yeah, you're more likely to die on the steps on the way up to the plane.
Exactly.
They can't be right.
Yeah, you're more likely to fall into the baggage carousel and be lost forever.
But the people who say that are probably in the pocket of big plane.
They might be. I'm hoping that they are correct and that you get egg all over your face. And it'll be an egg that's in omelette form and will have been reheated in a microwave under a piece of foil on a plane. I'm talking about a plane breakfast.
I will say, from my, as ever, extensive research.
Yes.
I stopped my extensive research because I was feeling very, very sick. And I suddenly had the feeling that I might not want to go on a plane again.
Are you a nervous flyer anyway?
No, absolutely fine with it.
Right.
This is the first time I felt queasy about it, reading these reports, the myriad ways that shit can go down, shit including you, your, and all your people who you love.
Yeah, and your actual shit, which is in your body.
In you, and during the course of the descent, may have left.
Yeah.
And quite appropriately.
Yeah, you've hit the ejector seat on that. You know, I said previously, I had that slightly caveman-like thought about fire, where if I think about it too much, I think, what is that? I have the same feeling on a plane.
Not being in a metal coffin flying through
exactly.
the sky.
It's defying all of the known laws of gravity.
No one knows how they work.
Some physics has kicked off, and now here I am hurtling through the sky. I'm above the clouds. I'm like a god up here.
So the single thing that worries me on planes is how sometimes on the way back, it's 2 hours quicker or something on the way. You're just being blown a bit further. I want something that is correct to the second
I know.
And it's the same backwards and forwards.
And the captain's often like, we had a bit of a wind behind us there. I don't want a wind behind us.
Oh.
I want you to be in charge of the speed. Imagine I'm driving my car.
Fuck, how'd you get up here to Edinburgh in 45 minutes?
Well, just quite windy.
Just good air conditions.
Really good, yeah.
Let me tell you some of the things that I read that made me feel slightly queasy.
I don't know if I want to hear these. I, Do you know what?
Tell me about your flying.
Weirdly, because I'm quite risk averse. With flying, I'm okay. Firstly, I have a sort of plane narcolepsy. So as soon as I sit down on a plane, I fall asleep.
Wow.
Yeah. Before it's taken off often. So I've often been on flights where...
Your body just shuts down.
My body shut down and I wasn't aware of takeoff or landing. And I just sort of opened my eyes, like I blinked.
So you teleported.
Yeah, exactly. I've blinked and there I am in, Glasgow probably.
Whilst your wife has been...
She's been looking after
two children. Yeah. Two screaming children.
Yeah, they've been
while
crying.
While you're pretending to be asleep
exactly.
Next to her. Okay, fine.
And then I think if the plane started to go down, I know there's nothing I can do about it. I have no way of controlling that. And so I think I'm at peace with it.
How about if the plane was going down because the pilot had some sort of terrible brain event?
Yeah.
And would you be able to have a go?
I'd give it a try. I mean, I'd recently smashed my car into a bollard.
Yep. Yeah, that's not
right. I don't think that...
No, you think that you're saying the controls are harder on a plane?
I think they might be slightly harder. Well, I drive an automatic, that's why.
So, oh, yeah. I think planes are mostly automatic, aren't they? Before you apply to be a pilot,
uh-huh.
Can I tell you the story of Captain Tim Lancaster?
Please do.
He was taking the BA 5390 from Birmingham Airport.
Right.
What he didn't know when he got into the plane is the night before, they'd replaced the windscreen.
Okay.
In this case, they hadn't quite screwed the screws in right.
Oh, dear.
And so shortly after taking off, half the windscreen flew out. And as you know from films, what now happens is Captain Tim Lancaster gets sucked out.
Was he sucked out of the plane?
He was sucked out of the plane. But someone grabbed him, the co-pilot,
yeah.
And then sort of presumably did the ding-dong. Sorry, could we get a member of the cabin through?
Well, why was the co-pilot not being sucked out?
And it was only half the windscreen, so he was on the right side. And then they got, loads of the cabin crew came through and they're all sort of holding him. He's on the outside of the plane.
Yeah.
And his head is repeatedly smashing against the plane as it goes along. But they're under strict instruction from the co-pilot not to let go, because if they let go, then his body will fly into the engine just off to the side.
Yes.
And that will turn a problem for the pilot to a problem for everyone else.
Yeah, one small death for man, one giant death for mankind.
Exactly. They land, and somehow the bloke's fine.
He's all right.
I mean, he's broken loads of bones and things, he's got frostbite, but he lived and went on to continue piloting planes.
Wow.
And then sort of retired at retirement age.
Wow. And he's got the most incredible selfie from his time.
And there are photos. I mean, some of the cabin crew were like, actually, I'm going to take a picture of this.
Did they actually?
Yeah, so there's pictures of him sort of hanging outside. And that made me think, I'm not going to be a pilot.
Why could they not pull him back in?
I don't know. The forces,
right? Maybe if you
forces
get,
and
maybe
pressures.
If you get too close to the window yourself, you'll get sucked
yeah,
out.
But it looked from the pictures I saw, they were really trying.
Bit of fresh air never hurt anybody.
I read a horrendous thing. This was actually fine because only one person died, which in the scheme of the incident, I think you'll agree, was a win.
Okay. that's some interesting PR, isn't it? Guys, I got some good news and some bad news, but I think you'll find that the good news is better, because 100 people could have died, but only one did.
Aloha Flight 243 in 1988. There was something that I felt too sick to explore further called explosive decompression.
Right.
Occurred. And what that meant in real terms is the lid came off the plane. It became instantly convertible.
Oh my gosh. Like a tin of beans being opened.
Maybe sardines, because it's sort of, it's long ways, isn't it? And that was, the seatbelts were doing a lot of work.
So one person died. Is that the person who didn't have their seatbelt on?
That was sadly a member of the cabin crew.
Oh no, that's awful.
I thought I knew, bad stuff happens, like big load of ducks fly into the engine or something. You don't see the mountain that's just coming up over the other mountain. But there's so many ways that the plane can.
If the roof came off a plane and you're on it, How hard would you have to fight the compulsion to put your hands up in the air like you're on a roller coaster?
This is the one that made me sickest, because this is a mistake that I make with my car, and I hope that pilots don't make with their planes.
Okay, what is it? Parallel parking?
It is.
Exactly. Air Canada, 1983, ran out of fuel.
Oh, no.
It didn't fill up properly.
Oh, no. They didn't put the wrong one in, did they?
No, they put the... They
turned
put,
up for
They
the
assumed
diesel.
Someone else had done it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and they were in the air, and all the lights were flashing, and they were like, well, surely someone filled it up.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it totally ran out of fuel.
Oh, my goodness.
Turning the plane at that point into a glider.
Right.
And so he was just... The just plane a, was just silent.
Like a paper aeroplane.
Like a paper aeroplane. Right. And he was having to go... Sort
oh,
of,
my goodness.
Sort of steer it back down. Somehow... got away with it.
No. Well,
and
they
that was
landed.
Fine. They landed a plane that was just
that
a glider.
Had no propulsion.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness me.
So on one hand, full marks to the pilot for landing it.
Mm.
On the other hand, absolutely no marks
for
to the pilot
checking.
Who didn't check there was no fucking fuel in the plane.
You would really notice that on a plane as well. I mean, obviously you'd notice it, but you'd really know, because planes are noisy. There's that sort of white noise, which I think is why I go to sleep like a little baby.
Oh yeah.
But if that all stopped, that would be
yes.
an eerie silence, wouldn't it?
Also, how would you do the announcement?
Megaphone?
You don't... Oh, no, not so much the practicalities of how you tell the people, but what do you say? Hmm. How do you keep everyone calm and also say...
My bad, guys. My bad.
It's a very my bad, isn't it?
Yes.
My very, very bad.
Hmm. It's not like, is there anyone on here who's a doctor? Or anyone in here who can fly a plane. Is there anyone on here who's smuggled on some fuel?
Yes, hundreds and hundreds of litres
gallons,
of diesel. They'd be limited to 200 mils of diesel, wouldn't
yes.
they?
Yes, well, they've, 100 got,
mils,
they've got lots of diesel, but it's all in separate little containers.
Talking of liquids on planes...
Which we literally were.
There's an email from Aidan from Bolton. I just spent a week visiting some friends in Germany... And I was on what seemed like a perfectly normal flight back to Manchester. That
it's
implies
an
something.
Start to a story.
But also, are you going to email in with a flight that was absolutely fine?
Maybe he just really enjoyed it.
Lovely time. After about 20 minutes, there was a bit of commotion a few rows in front of me, and it seemed like someone was quite unwell.
Oh dear.
Mm. The cabin crew started rushing around, and I saw a man who was clearly struggling to breathe.
Uh-oh.
Being helped towards the front of the plane. Mm. I was slightly confused when a woman in the same area started carefully removing a Tupperware box, as if it was radioactive, from the overhead locker above this guy's seat. It turned out her onion soup had leaked onto him, and he'd had a severe allergic reaction. So to drip down...
What?
Who's bringing... Onion soup.
I mean, surely that's not under 100 mils.
We had to make an emergency landing. Thankfully, the guy was okay. But lesson learned. There's so many things have gone wrong here.
I know. Yeah, so she's thought, well, I don't trust the plane meals. And good on her. They're grim.
They can be very, very painfully bad.
She's gone, what is the most offensive smelling thing I could take onto a flight? It's a ballsy move. Do you think he was allergic to onion or to soup?
Soup, yeah. Definitely. That's a very common, common allergy. So I live with, and I'm also married to, someone who is very, very, very afraid of flying. It's like watching a film with someone who wants to say, and who's that? And what's that? What's happened there? So like watching a film with me,
right.
Basically.
Yeah.
But it's him, but with every sound that happens. What's that sound?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. And that sound, I don't know. Mm. Everything's fine. Nothing's on fire. I can't smell any smoke. Everything's fine. That's, I don't know, the landing gear, some, pigeon. I don't...
If you were offered as a service, or maybe if James were offered as a service, that you could be anaesthetized at the airport, you turn up, they literally knock you out.
Yep.
You get on the plane, there's someone there to make sure your body doesn't get tampered with, or that it does, if that's what you've requested.
Yeah.
And then you, when you get there, they transport you to your hotel, and then you just sort of peacefully wake up.
Oh, so you miss the transfer.
You miss everything.
And all the luggage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're wheeling through, passport control. Someone looks at your photo and goes, yep, he's actually less pale now that he's knocked out and unconscious than he is in this photo. Great, get him on through.
I'm not afraid of flying, and I would like to have that service.
Wouldn't it be incredible?
Also,
you
could think how many people you can cram into the aircraft.
Oh,
because you don't need any creature comforts whatsoever.
Yeah, just stack the body, pile the bodies
high. Hundreds of people.
Exactly. Put us in with the luggage, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone told us a trick if you're worried on a plane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like when there's turbulence and it feels like everything's juddering up and down.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, James is recording his last will and testament onto voice notes.
Sure.
The trick is to look at the cabin crew.
Right.
Because if the cabin crew are calm and they're just going around, you know, offering you some more honey roasted peanuts, then everything's fine.
The danger is if you look at them and they are panicking, that's going to fuel your panic more. So if I am in a plane crash, and I really hope that I'm not, don't we all? How would I survive it?
I don't think it's fair to say that everyone hopes you won't be in a plane crash.
To spoil their fun, I'm going to try and save myself. How do I do it?
So basically, it doesn't matter where you sit, because if you sit at the front of the plane, that's only good if, you know, the back of the plane that gets, you know, something smashes into. So basically, that's all quite bad. Be fairly near an exit.
Right.
I think people who are more than 6 or 7 rows away from an exit have a slightly worse chance. So,
okay.
You know, near an exit. Wear your seat belt very, very tight.
Yeah, I always do.
Because I don't. And I learned something here. I do it as a sort of gesture. Like, how much of a difference if we're spiraling in a fireball into the North Atlantic? Does it make that much of a difference how tight the seatbelt is and whether my tray is in the full upright position?
Right.
Turns out, yes.
Okay.
And you do make a difference by having it really doing a real pelvic grip.
Okay.
This is the piece of advice that I'm not sure how helpful it is, because I think it might also cause panic like that flight attendant. The piece of advice is the brace position is important. So do practice the brace position. I think if I saw someone
practicing
on the plane in the brace position, my heart rate would rise.
Mm. What is the brace position? It's just covering your sort of tucking
your head into your knees. Should we try it? Ready?
Yeah, go on.
Brace.
Oh, I brought my knees to my head. I knees to my head.
Okay,
that's not good.
That's why it's worth.
You got to practice
doing it.
Okay, head to knees. Yeah.
Two,
one. Brace.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how does that help?
I don't know.
It does.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm learning as this podcast goes on is if any danger comes your way, roll into a ball.
Yes.
Like, basically learn from an earwig.
I will say, before we ask Jen for the results, that it goes without saying, I have seen thousands of stories of horrendous plane crashes that I haven't inflicted on you, Matt, and the listening audience. But needless to say, it can go really fucking wrong.
It can go bad.
And when it does, it isn't good.
You could crash land on an island full of mystery and intrigue, polar bears, smoke monsters.
Eventually you get bored and stop watching.
Yes. You could get to a denouement, which is incredibly unsatisfying. You are promised answers and they were never delivered. Does anyone know what was going on? Were they in purgatory? Were they not? Why has the lead act from it never been in anything else ever again?
Well, that's a long grudge you've held.
The only saving grace is I watched all of Lost illegally from a Chinese streaming site, and I'm glad I did.
Wow. So I presume this is the last episode before you go to prison for major fraud?
No, that was a joke, Adam. Of course, I bought the
VHS,
DVD,
presumably, at the time.
The DVD box set and watched it.
Excellent.
I can't find it, actually. It's lost.
Right. Over to Jen, who will tell us quite how massively fatal planes are.
Interestingly, given that many of us have a phobia of flying, air travel is actually statistically much safer than other ways of getting around. Calculating the risk requires us to do some maths. At just one micromort per 1,000 miles travelled, it's twice as safe as taking the train, 100 times safer than travelling by car, and 3,000 times safer than hopping on a motorbike. The average plane user goes on 6.5 flights per year, and each flight is an average of 980 kilometres. So that roughly equates to a micromort score of 4 annually.
I thought it'd be a lot deadlier.
That's good news for all of us, though, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's good for the plane flying public, and it's good in particular for you.
Specifically for me, on two counts. One, the plane flying. Two, this podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think I've guessed what yours is going to be from your subtle clue.
Yes.
That it's circling.
Yes.
Around us.
Yes.
Is it roundabouts? Is it sharks?
It's sharks.
It's sharks.
Yes, it's sharks. We've spoken a bit about sharks. I was saying that they got a bit of a bad rap because of Jaws.
Yes.
And, I mean, that is true, actually.
Is that a bad rep?
Yeah, reputation.
Why do you abbreviate it to rap, then? Reputation.
Is it a bad rep or a bad rap? I think it's a bad rap.
Do you? But you think it's waistcoat.
Waistcoat. Can someone Google whether it's bad rep or bad rap? I think they get a bit of a bad rap. And if it turns out that it's bad rep, I will do a rap about sharks, which will cover my tracks.
So producer Daryl says that you are correct.
I'm just waiting for an apology.
I'm very sorry, and I resign.
I'm refusing a resignation.
Okay.
But I admire your honour.
Thank you. Thank
you. Because we've got to finish the podcast. And I've got a lot of work that I've done researching sharks that's going to go to waste if you suddenly disappear.
Yeah, those weeks you spent at the Marine Museum and Library.
I've got a year's pass to the Sea Life Centre. So, as I said, Jaws, bad news for sharks. Quite a lot of misconceptions around the relentlessness of shark attacks. Because I think you think, oh, if there's a shark, they're going to attack people.
Why have you chosen a topic which has... which you're now doing down.
Well, just wait, because I've not gotten to the deaths yet.
Okay, fine.
If you want to know, in 2021, that's a year that's relatively recent in time.
It's recent.
There were a total of 73 unprovoked attacks by sharks on humans. Of the 73, guess how many were fatal?
52.
Nine. Only nine were fatal. And I was hoping for a higher number too.
Now, so hang on.
Yeah.
What are we... Because in my mind, a shark is a great white. But does it also include some of these things which are technically called a shark and they're the size of a minnow?
Yeah, probably.
A minnow shark.
Exactly.
I've been attacked by a minnow shark and now I sort of need a small Band-Aid.
Yes, it could be that. Yeah, if one of them sort of grazes past your knee, is that an assault?
Is it sort of this whole GBH versus ABH thing?
Well, yes.
So you've got good odds if a shark attacks you?
Yeah, quite good.
I mean, so far I'm feeling the planes because does a shark ever take out 135 people in one go?
If it was on a plane, I think it would.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, sharks on a plane. Someone get these motherfucking sharks off this motherfucking plane.
I'd be keen to get the sharks off the plane, actually.
I would too. Have you seen snakes on a plane?
No.
You've really seen none of the greats, have you? Right, let me give you some more facts. So an average of 76 shark attacks per year, with 6 fatalities a year is the average.
And that's nothing. That's going to be less than like the chocolate biscuit, the twirl.
Right, yeah.
That'll probably be about 7 or 8. That's another potential sponsor.
Yep. Yeah, delicious though. Delicious. Definitely worth dying for. The United States, top of the leaderboard for unprovoked shark attacks. I don't know how you...
Oh.
What a provoked shark attack.
Oh, yeah.
So
you think there might be more provoked ones?
You've dissed the shark's mum and it's come for you. I don't know.
Or there's some island where they've copied the matador regime.
Yes, it's like underwater polo.
Yes,
but with matadoring.
Yes, and a trident,
a rusty trident.
And do we know what's causing these shark attacks?
Sharks. The major suspect.
Well, the
I don't know how if I can spell it out for you anymore. The clue is in the title. Well, there's a shark attack.
So presumably that there are obviously areas that are more dangerous because they're sharkier.
Yeah, the ones with sharks in. The ones with sharks in. If you see sharks, just avoid those. Let me take you way back in time, way back to the first documented shark attack.
Yeah.
Obviously, there would have been shark attacks before that, but they died, so they couldn't document them. But this one was. It occurred in the waters off Havana Harbor in Cuba.
Lovely.
In 1749.
Picture the scene.
Well, picture a seaman. Brooke Watson went for a swim and was set upon by a shark. Now, he managed to escape with his life, but not all of his limbs. The shark bit off his right foot during the struggle. And he was only 14 at the time of the attack.
Oh, God.
But they did die young. They, you know, life moved at a faster pace back then, I think.
So that, you're saying that's equivalent of being like sort of mid-40s?
At middle age, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly. He was on his way out.
That's going to affect your swimming away from the shark, isn't it?
Definitely. He had his right leg amputated below the knee.
Yep.
Returned to sea.
What?
Had a successful career as a trader.
Oh.
Lovely life. Then became the mayor of London.
Hang on.
And if that isn't a rags-to-riches story, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's a real twist. Are you sure you didn't skip to the wrong tab and read the end of a different Wikipedia page?
Yep. And his name was Sadiq Khan. Oh, no. No, you're right. No, Brooke Watson, mayor of London.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's good.
The famous one-legged mayor. Now, I was a bit contrite earlier, wasn't I, when you asked me why these shark attacks happen? But in the vast majority of cases, the attacks are a mistake. I don't think the shark...
Hang on.
It's not premeditated.
It's a mistake?
It's a mistake, yeah.
Well, what do sharks normally
Sorry, guys.
Eat?
Sorry. They eat fish.
Fish. So they're not generally into red... Are we red meat?
I don't.
We're white meat. We're sort of more like...
I don't know.
I don't know the classification.
We like a goose. No one quite knows.
Okay. So, but they're not into...
They're not into humans. No.
They're not having much land-based food normally, are they?
No.
They're more on the surf than the turf.
That's right.
By nature of living in water.
They will eat fish, sea turtles, whales.
Sea turtles?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to...
Yes, tricky, that one. Yeah. I think they just like with oysters. They
suck them out
of the shell. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sea turtles, whales...
Whales?
Yep.
Okay.
That's a big
meal.
Sea lions and seals. Humans don't contain enough of the high-fat meat that sharks crave.
Speak for yourself.
I was going to say, a shark may make the exception for some people. It tends to just be wrong place, wrong time.
So presumably the answer to how do we avoid shark attack is don't go to wrong place.
I'd advise you not to surf. Yes.
You don't need to advise me not to surf.
Yes.
I've worked that one out myself. Is that because if you're surfing, the sharks see you as a blini?
Yeah, exactly. You're like a big banana split.
Got
there.
It. Yeah.
It's to do with sort of vibrations and things like that. And also the shape of the surfboard.
Looks delicious.
It looks delicious, yeah.
Fine.
Looks like a beautiful big Rivita.
which is you missed off the list of things they
Yeah, that's
other
one of the things.
Sea turtles,
that's
sea lions, and
Rivitae. Exactly. Also, I know you like to go spearfishing.
Yes.
You're not going to
ruin my spearfishing holiday, are you?
You might have to just curb that because the blood in the water, coupled with the electrical impulses given off by the dying fish as it struggles on the end of your spear, could lead to the shark sensing those signals with its detectors.
Oh, so is it true that sharks smell blood and then go after you?
Yeah, they can smell blood, but they can also sense those electrical signals. Have you been scuba diving?
I have.
I hated it.
Because of the whole breathing.
Claustrophobic.
Oh, yes.
I had to, yeah, they were like, so just breathe in through your mouth and out through your nose. And then I was like, is it in through your nose? And out through your mouth? I can't remember. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm really focused on my breathing. Oh my God, what if I get down there and I can't? Oh my God. And so I couldn't go down. And so my wife went down and I bobbed on the surface.
So and occasionally you snorkeled?
Dunked. Yeah, I sort of, with all the gear on, I sort of dunked my head and occasionally just checked that she was still alive. Yep, she's down there. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't get down to a depth where I was like, if all of this came off, I wouldn't survive.
Is scuba stuff attractive to a shark?
I don't know.
You're a meal with a fizzy drink on your back.
Maybe.
It's like a Boots meal deal. All you need is some massive crisps.
Exactly. That's well, the Rive Eater, that's where the thing comes in. I mean, I only know their taste in food, not their taste in fashion. So I can't let you know whether or not they would see someone in scuba gear and think, yep, I would like to go for that. If you do happen to find yourself in the vicinity of a shark,
badly injure the person you're with and swim away much faster.
You bite their leg before the shark does?
Yes. Then they'll be bleeding. Either one of you or both of you are going to die. It might as well be
one of you.
Human bite human, shark eat human, other human escape. And at that point, you deny.
Yeah, you never say anything.
We wouldn't. I mean, now I've said it on this podcast. And if I am in that scenario, fingers will be pointed, but they can't really prove it.
Yeah. Why have you got so much blood around your mouth? What's going on?
I tried to fend off the shark the only way I knew.
Right. We've tested it in the lab and it's human blood.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But is that a crime?
I think it is.
It is a crime. It is a crime.
I think it is, yeah.
By trying to kill someone else to save your own life.
Yeah. You weren't trying to kill him. You were just trying to draw blood.
I was just trying to draw blood and also incapacitate them so I could escape while the shark was busy eating you.
I think it's manslaughter at the very worst.
Okay, fine. I'm worried about that.
So
anything else I can do
other than
staying inside and biting you?
Yeah. So first and foremost, try not to panic. Easier said than done, of course.
Yeah.
Far more likely to get bitten by a shark if you attempt to swim away at speed than if you stay perfectly still.
I'm not going to trust that one. I think there is no chance. No, if a shark is coming towards me, I will stay still. I'm going to swim away from it.
No, it's like Jurassic Park. They can't see you if you don't move.
But you don't have the warning because you can't have a cup of tea with the vibrations in.
Yes,
yeah.
it would become an extremely diluted cup of tea.
Yeah.
Secondly, maintain eye contact with the shark.
Just to be polite.
I don't maintain eye contact with people.
It's difficult. Also, it's weird if you do too much of it, isn't it?
Have you noticed that I never look at your eyes?
No.
Am I looking at your eyes now?
You are now, yes.
I'm not, no.
No, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at your mouth.
Really?
I'm a mouth looker.
Stop looking at my mouth.
No, I like it. I get no information from people's eyes whatsoever. From your mouth, I can see the words you're forming with the mouth. If you slur something, I can see what I have for lunch. Exactly.
I'll go eat a pizza.
With your eyes, I don't like it. I'm looking at them now.
Yeah.
Don't like it. I feel uncomfortable. Not into it.
Okay.
Look at your mouth. So with a shark, I'd struggle.
Particularly because it's got such a big mouth and such relatively small eyes.
Yeah, a lot of teeth to take in.
Yeah, because they've got something like 42 million teeth or something. They're really designed for eating you. Yes. You claim they're only into sea turtles, but they...
That's just for cracking the back of a turtle. Even after you've made eye contact with it, one of two things will happen.
Yeah.
The shark will try and make love to you.
That's fine.
That isn't official, by the way. I just assume.
Okay, fine.
You know. Or, if you're not making love to it, you can punch it in the gills, or the eyes, or the nose. So punch it in any of those three places.
Okay. I think I'm going gills, because eyes and nose are very close to the mouth, which I think is going to be the bit that's going to cause me the most problems.
Yes, I think you're right. I think of the three, gills is the one. What are gills for? They're for breathing, are they?
I think so, yeah.
You could smother the gills with a pillow. If you have
you could do. Okay, well, I think I'm feeling fairly relaxed about a shark attack and also feeling fairly relaxed about winning this because you've previously told me there's only like six a year.
Yeah.
And there's six a day dying in planes, surely minimum.
I was trying to figure
out...
Six per plane. I was trying to figure out if there were any British shark attacks. There have only been 17 shark attacks in British waters since 1785. So there's not that many.
No, that's not many at all.
So basically, they're not that dangerous, all right? Sharks aren't that fine. They're more of a Hollywood myth. If you see a shark, it's probably fine.
Shall we get Jen to confirm that the shark is, in fact, the safest animal in the world?
Let's find out what Jen has to say.
So our best source of data regarding shark-related fatalities is the International Shark Attack File, also known as the ISAF. And it says that in the US, your risk of death by shark stands at 1 in 4,332,817 over a lifetime, while in Australia, it's more likely at 1 in 975,000, or a Micromort score of 1.02. On our leaderboard, it ranks less likely than death by flying. But don't forget, you can increase your odds of shark safety by never going in the sea.
I should have gone with flying sharks.
There we go. Much more likely to die on a plane than be eaten by a shark. Obviously, there is the chance you have the 1-2 where your plane crashes.
Yes.
Go down the inflatable slide.
Straight into a shark's mouth.
Straight into a shark's mouth. Your little whistle isn't going to help you
exactly,
then, is it?
Yeah. You try desperately to insert your fingers into its gills.
But you're on the inside already.
On the inside.
Yep.
Yeah. That could happen. I mean, imagine. Oh, well, lucky day for the shark. Incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's like a buffet being delivered.
Exactly.
It's a Deliveroo.
Like a sushi restaurant with all the food just being ushered towards you on a little travelator. Well, do you know what? I'm a little disappointed, but I'm also kind of pleased for the sharks because I, in my heart of heart, I trusted them.
The List of Absolutely Everything That Might Kill You is a podcast from Podimo and What's the Story Sounds. It's presented by me, Adam Kay.
And me, Matt Edmondson.
The episodes are researched and produced by Jack O'Kennedy. Executive producers for Podimo are Jake Chudnow and Matt White. And for What's the Story Sounds, it's Daryl Brown and Sophie Ellis.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.